Dane has asked me to read the scripture today. It comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. So if you'd like to pull your Bibles out and follow along, that would be great. I will be reading from the NIV. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Thanks, Mike. All right, Jesus and the elephant. All right, Jesus and the elephant. Well, did you catch it? Did you get the elephant at that story? I mean, it's the only place that I know of in the entire Bible where an elephant is named, kind of. Now, if you didn't catch it, let me just cover it for you. First of all, the place. This story, this account that Mike just read for you from John chapter 21 is taken, as he said, out of the Bible there, from the Sea of Tiberias, which is just another phrase, another word for the Sea of Galilee. So it's in Galilee, northern Judea. That's where this scene takes place. The time is probably, my best guess is 3, maybe 4 weeks after Easter. Hard to say exactly. We know on Easter Day, the day we celebrated last Sunday, on Easter, Jesus appeared to all of his disciples at the end of that day. Then we read, 8 days later, he appeared to them. This time, Thomas was with them. That seems to be still in Jerusalem. Now they're in Galilee. That's about 70 miles north of Jerusalem, about a week's travel. So this scene in John chapter 21 takes place probably another week, probably 3, maybe as much as 4 weeks after Easter. That's the time and that's the place. Peter announces at the beginning of this account, he said, "I'm going fishing." Now, there are two ways that you can kind of understand this, and scholars are kind of debate about which way it is. The first way of understanding it, when Peter says, "I'm going fishing," some people understand that to mean that Peter means, "I'm going fishing." Pretty simple. I kind of lean that direction myself. Peter gets back home. Bills need paid. Food needs to put on the table. His wife says, hey, you've been away for a while. We need something here. And Peter's a fisherman. So maybe he means he's just going fishing. But some suggest, and I can't settle this for you, some suggest that there are certain nuances in the Greek which suggest something else. So that when Peter says, I'm going fishing, what he means is, I'm going back to fishing. As if to suggest, I'm going back to my old way of life. Now, I don't really lean that direction, but I suppose, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I don't really know, I suppose it's possible that's what he means. Whatever the case may be, I'm convinced that, well, there's something going on with Peter at this particular moment. I would suggest to you that there's probably a certain heaviness that Peter's carrying. If you don't know what I mean, let me take you back to Matthew chapter 26. Back in Matthew chapter 26, this is the night of the Last Supper. This is the night. They're up in the upper room. Jesus is about to go out into the garden, and there he's going to be arrested. And he just finishes telling the disciples, I'm going to die. And he tells them, you know, tonight's the night. And although I don't think they really know what he means, Peter, he's objecting to this, and Jesus tells Peter, he tells all the disciples, that because of me this night, all of you will be made to stumble. Stumble meaning to be offended or to fall. Peter, no way. All these others, they may stumble. I mean, I can see what you mean, Jesus, about those guys. They're probably going down tonight. I can get you, but I'm not going to stumble. I'm not going to. Even if I have to die with you, he said, I'll be there. Jesus' response is, Peter, surely I tell you, this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter's incredulous. No, I mean, I'll die with you before that happens. No way. Those other guys, yeah, maybe. I can see that happening. But not me. Not me. You can count on me, Jesus. I got your back. I got your six on this. I mean, don't worry about me. I'm right there. Now, if you move over to Luke's story in Luke chapter 21, they leave. They go out to the garden. Jesus takes his disciples. They go out to the Mount of Olives. There's a garden, Garden of Gethsemane, where I'm going to guess that Jesus had gone there many times before. This was a place that he often retired to when he came to the Jerusalem area. It was a secret place. Probably no one really knew about it but him and his closest associates. It's a quiet place, and so they go out there that night. And I think all the disciples knew something's going on. Something's happening. And things start to rapidly happen. Suddenly, Judas appears, one of their 12. And with him are a bunch of guys carrying torches and swords and spears. And it's a guard. And Judas, he betrays Jesus. He's led them right to where they are. One of their own has betrayed them. There's a scene going on. A sword is flashed. There's a struggle. One of the disciples is grabbed by one of the guards. In fact, he wiggles free from his own clothing and runs off naked into the woods. And pretty soon, all the disciples, they turn here and they run. They take off running from Jesus. And he's arrested. And he's taken down to Caiaphas' house. Peter was one of those who took off into the night. Now, he has a change of heart a little later. And he turns around. As a matter of fact, Luke tells us he followed them. You can see him maybe just kind of following from a distance, keeping an eye on those torches in the night. And he follows Jesus down to the house of Caiaphas the high priest. And there he makes his way into the courtyard, trying to stay close, trying to see what's going on. And there's a fire going on. There's a young woman, she's warming herself at the fire. And she starts looking intently at Peter. She starts staring at him. She's got to know there's something going on tonight. There's something happening. There's something going down tonight in Caiaphas' house. Matter of fact, she probably even knows that they've made an arrest, and it's a Jesus. And she's looking at Peter, and she's staring at him. So finally, she knows who he is. She's, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? You're with him. And this is just happening too fast for Peter. I mean, the arrest and everything, the sword, just all of this going on. And he's just trying to figure out what's going on. And he says, woman, I tell you, I'm not. I don't know this man. I don't know who he is. Number one. A short while later, another man. There's another man, and he sees Peter. He said, you're one of his, aren't you? You belong to Jesus, don't you? He also apparently knows what's going on, knows that Jesus has been arrested, and now he sees one of Jesus right there, so close to the house. Maybe he's thinking there's going to be a fight. Maybe there's going to be an effort made to spring Jesus. He says, hey, you're one of the disciples too. And Peter, not wanting this right now, it's just too fast, it's too much. He says, man, I tell you, I don't know that man. I don't know who he is. Number two. Now it's about an hour later. Peter is still hanging around. Inside the house, there's a trial going on of sorts. Jesus is being accused of blasphemy. They're tying a blindfold around his face and they're beginning to strike him. Come on, Jesus, prophesy. Who hit you now? Who hit you? Peter is outside the house wondering what's going on inside, trying to figure out what's happening. And someone else. Well, they recognize his Galilean accent. They know he's not from Jerusalem down south. He's from up north. And then he realizes too, hey, you're one of his. Hey, this man's one of Jesus' disciples. I've seen him before with him. This man's a disciple too. He's a Galilean. I know him. And Peter said, man, I tell you I'm not. In fact, one of the other gospels says that Peter even added a curse. He swore. Probably it sounded like this, as God is my witness, I don't know the man. He took an oath. He swore. I'm telling you, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. What's just at that moment, it seems, that Jesus is being led out of the house. Just as Peter is taking an oath, as God is my witness, I don't know the man, that Jesus sees him. Because Luke says he looked at him. Their eyes meet. As God is my witness, and God, of course, is witnessing it. I don't know the man. And at that moment, they look at each other, and the rooster crows. And then Peter remembered. He remembered the vow he had made. He had remembered how he told Jesus, I'll be there. I'll die with you. I'll go to prison, whatever it takes. And Jesus said, no, you're going to deny me three times. Peter remembered the words of his Lord, and we read that he went out and wept bitterly over it. So I think that's still weighing a little bit on Peter's mind in John chapter 21. Still weighing on his mind. Oh, sure, he's joyful over the resurrection. But, you know, in all of the previous resurrection encounters, I don't see anywhere where this has been dealt with yet. Peter denied him. Oh, well, they turned and ran. Peter did that too. But none of the other disciples denied him. And I just can't help but think, and maybe I'm reading too much into the scriptures, but I just can't help but think this is still working on Peter a little bit. I denied him. I took an oath that I don't know this man. And so in John chapter 1, when he said, I'm going fishing, well, who knows? Maybe he's thinking, I don't know if I have what it takes. Maybe it's just eating away at him. I'm going to go fishing, guys. Whatever the case may be, I will give it to those six other disciples who are with him. John mentions who they are. They're not going to let him go alone. Because their response is, we're going with you. Man, I can't tell you enough about brothers and sisters who stand in the time of need with me. I've experienced it many times in my life where I didn't know where God was, and suddenly I saw him in the eyes of a brother who comes just to spend a little time because he knows I'm in need. The disciples weren't going to let Peter alone at this time. We're going to go with you. Be that kind of brother. Be that kind of sister to one another. I have a good friend who went through a real difficult divorce about a dozen years ago. And I mean, he was really down and out. And a friend and I, we used to just go over and sit with him. We wouldn't even talk much. We'd just sit with him because he was such a wreck. And he'll say to this day, I'll never forget that. You guys just came and sat with me. So maybe the disciples see this too. Peter, you're not going alone. We're there with you. So they get in their boat and they launch themselves out in the Sea of Galilee. These guys are fishermen. They've done this a million times before. Now they fish at night. That's not uncommon. They would take torches and light them, and the fish would see the light come to the surface, and they'd snag them in their nets. And so they're fishing. But they fish all night long, John tells us. All night long, and they catch nothing. Nothing. I mean, all night long, they're fishing, and the only thing they're pulling is a couple of boots and a toilet seat lid. Nothing. They're just pulling the nets in, and there's nothing in it. And that's not a real successful night. I just can't help, maybe I read too much, but I just can't help think of what Peter's thinking at this particular point. Man, I can't even fish anymore. I mean, I'm about as worthless as they come. I can't follow Jesus. I made that abundantly clear. He can't count on me. And when it comes to fishing, I can't even do that anymore. What good am I? What good am I anymore? And they're fishing all night long, and you can kind of see this scene. It's just morning now. And there's a man walking along the shore of the beach. We know that man to be Jesus, but they don't know it yet. They're in the story. Remember, they're not reading it like us. They're in the story, and they see this man walking along the side of the beach, and he yells out to them, "Children, have you caught any fish?" Don't you hate it when someone points out the obvious to you? You know, I mean, just kind of... Yeah, Rick Marker's not here, but he's got a great line. Rick likes to annoy people when they're doing something and it's not working out for them. He'll say, "Hey, how's that working out for you?" That's what sounds like Jesus doing. "Hey, guys, how's that fishing working out for you? You doing okay out there?" The answer we read is no, but it's probably no, didn't catch any fish. And then the guy on the beach says, "Take your nets and throw them on the other side." You know the miracle of this story? They do it. I mean, really, that's the whole miracle. They do it. I know what I'd be saying. "Yeah, you keep running along there, landlubber. We're the fishermen." Of course, they didn't catch anything. So maybe that guy's advice is as good as everything they've been doing all night. But miraculously, they do it. They haul their nets in, and they go to toss them on the other side. And I wonder again, Are any of them thinking deja vu? You ever have deja vu? You know, where you're driving down the road, you're in a conversation, and you're thinking, "I've done this before. This has happened to me before. I remember this conversation. I remember this place. I just had this feeling. I've been here before." Well, I'm thinking they're having this big deja vu moment as they're pulling in the nets because it did happen before. Luke chapter 5. Way back, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Peter and Jesus barely know each other at this time. Jesus is preaching all day from Peter's boat. He's preaching, well, I don't know about all day, but he's preaching. And when he's done preaching, he turns to Peter and says, "All right, now, you know, launch yourself out into the deep, cast out your nets, and get ready for a catch." And Peter says, "Well, you know, we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught anything." Man, I guess the guy isn't that good at fishing, maybe. I don't know. This is the second night of just nothing. He said, "We've been fishing all night. Haven't caught anything. But, you know, you want me to do that? All right. I'm with you." So they launch out, and they throw their nets in, and biggest catch they've ever gotten. So I'm just wondering, as they're doing that, they're pulling the nets in John 21, they're thinking, "This is strangely familiar. This reminds me of something else." They take their nets in, and they throw them on the other side, and woof! Man, they just tighten up. A whole school of fish just swim into their nets, and the guys are starting, "Grab that rope, John. Come on, Thomas, pull harder. We're going to lose it. Grab it." And they're struggling to get this net in the boat, and all of a sudden, it hits John first. "That's the Lord." He recognized it's Jesus. He's, "That's the Lord." Splash. Peter just dives in. He just dives in, and he starts swimming to shore. That's all he needs. You guys can worry about the fish. I don't know what he's thinking, but, you know, I guess what he's thinking is, I don't know where I belong anymore. Maybe I'm not a really great disciple, and sure as shoot not a good fisherman anymore. But I know this, I want to be with Jesus. I mean, that's just the only place I really want to be. I remember another story. It's not on your PowerPoint. John chapter 6. about around verse 66, Jesus is teaching, and he says some really harsh words, and some of the disciples who have always walking with Jesus, they left. They left and never came back, and he turns to the disciples and says, so you guys going to leave me too? And Peter says, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. And that must be what Peter's thinking is here in the boat. Where else am I going to go? Where else? I mean, I have no other home but with this man there. And though I've failed him, that's where I want to be. And he swims ashore, and Jesus, he's kindled a small little fire there on the beach. And he's actually making some fish. He's got his own fish. I don't know where they came from. Chuck Swindoll said, well, maybe he just whistled, they jumped out of the water into the frying pan. I don't know. As good a guess as anybody else. He's making up a little breakfast for the boys. Peter's there with them. And the other disciples, finally, they get all the fish, they come in from the boat, and they, you know, they dock it and everything, they come walking over, and there's this little scene on the beach, early morning, a fire, Jesus and Peter, Peter's drying himself off, but so far, this scene is just like absent of any conversation. There's just no real talking going on just yet. It's like Peter doesn't want to bring up the subject. Maybe he doesn't know how. You ever have a problem with somebody you're in a relationship with, and the relationship is broken? I mean, you know, you could tell it's broken. You don't know how to talk about it. And that's what I see here on the beach. Peter just doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know how to bring up the fact, oh, by the way, how are we going to deal with that fact that I denied you 3 times? What are we going to do about that? It's like there's an elephant in the room. You know that phrase we use? There's an elephant in the room. No one wants to talk about it. There's something really large, something really obvious that everybody sees and everybody feels, but no one wants to do anything about. And there's an elephant on that beach there in John chapter 21. Peter's warming himself with the fire, and Jesus is making a little breakfast. The other disciples rolling in, and pretty soon everybody's having breakfast. Finally, well, in fact, Jesus even says, he said, you know, give me some of your, bring some of your fish over here. We've got to finish breakfast here. Who jumps up? It's Peter. Peter jumps up. He runs over. He grabs a net himself and drags it ashore. Counts them. 150. This guy's got nervous energy. I mean, this guy's, his guilt is turning to OCD or something. I mean, he can't sit still. He grabs a net, brings him in, counts them, 153 fish. Well, what's just going on in this guy's head? I think he just doesn't know how to deal with it. There's something between him and his Lord, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. And so they're sitting there having breakfast, and finally Jesus breaches the silence. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Oh, man, you could just see it. Everybody freezes. Thomas has just got a bite of fish sandwich, and he's just halfway in his mouth. You know, uh-oh, here he comes. This is it. This is it. Jesus, do you love me? Now, if you've ever studied this passage before, you know that there's something going on in the Greek that the English kind of betrays a little bit. This is not real high, you know, intellectual stuff. It just, you know, get yourself a dictionary or Bible commentary. You'll find out that there's something going on in the Greek of this passage that the English just kind of betrays a little bit. We don't quite see it. When Jesus said, do you love me? There's a lot of different Greek words for love. And one of those words is agape. Agape is probably the most well-known Greek word among Christians today. Most Christians know agape. It's that selfless kind of God love. The perfect good love. It's the love that we want to have. And Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? That's the word he used. Do you agape me? Do you love me without regard to self? And Peter's answer is strange because he uses a different Greek word, phileo, which is the same root word where we get our word Philadelphia, brotherly love. In fact, that's what it really means. It's a fondness. He says, Peter, do you agape me? And he said, oh, Lord, you know I phileo you. I'm really fond of you. You're like a brother to me. But he just can't go the distance with agape. A couple weeks before, oh, you know he'd be there, but not now. So they're just kind of eating in silence, and Jesus says to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Oh, man. Oh, this is getting right down to it. I mean, he's pushing him. You can just almost see Peter. He's getting agitated. Lord, you know I phileo you. He just can't bring himself to say it. He can't, because he knows all too well his human weakness. He knows that when the chips are down, he might not agape him. And he's afraid to go the distance now. He's afraid to be bold, brazen, impetuous Peter. He's been broken down by his own sin. And so he says, and this is his best, I think. Oh, Lord, you know, I phileo you. They're back to eating, and it's quiet again, it seems. And finally, a third time. Remember, he denied him three times. And now a third time, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo me? He uses the same Greek word that Peter has been using all along. Then do you love me brotherly? Are you really fond of me? Peter is grieved now, and you can almost see the tears welling up in those deep Mediterranean eyes. I mean, the guy is just broken. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know I phileo you. I do. I'm just afraid of myself right now. I don't know what I'm capable of doing anymore. Isn't it marvelous that Jesus kind of meets him right where he is? He doesn't raise the bar above him and just says, all right, I'll meet you there. Then do you phileo me? Yeah, I do. Jesus tells Peter, Peter, when you were young, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted to go. But when you get older, someone else will gird you and take you by the hand and lead you where you don't want to go. Now, John tells us by this he was signifying what type of death Peter would undergo. Peter's death is not recorded in the scriptures. It's not biblical, but there's a pretty strong church tradition that has been passed down through the ages. It tells us that Peter, some 30 years after this conversation, in and around 68 AD, during the persecution of Nero, was arrested. He first watched his wife crucified. Tradition is he called out to her, "Remember the Lord!" And they came for Peter next. And he said, I'm not worthy that I should be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. And so they turned him upside down, according to tradition. And he died. 30 years later, he agaped him. Oh, he agaped him. He just needed a chance to really show that he could. And God gave him that chance. You know, I think it's entirely possible that for some here this morning, there's an elephant in the room between you and God. I mean, there's something that you haven't really talked about. You haven't really dealt with. You know what it is, and God knows what it is. And maybe you've busied yourself with good things, even church work. You've thrown yourself into this, into that, to somehow make yourself feel better about what you know is just this glaring thing. Maybe you've betrayed him. Oh, maybe not the same way, but there's been some sort of betrayal. Maybe you've said it, you've done it, you've betrayed him with your thoughts or with your body, or you've betrayed him with your mind or your actions or your something. You've somehow betrayed him, and he knows it, and you know it. You just never dealt with it. Well, I want to invite you this morning, because down front here, Jesus has kindled a little fire, and he's just waiting for you to come down. Just come down and warm yourself by it and work it out with him, because he doesn't want that elephant any more than you do. He wants to work in your life. We're going to sing the last song, page 62. And as we're singing this song, remember, he'll meet you where you are, just as you are.